This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Brighton Fan Show here on this Friday evening between 10 and 10.30. We're going to be looking back at Brighton's 1-1 draw at home against Burnley. We're also going to look ahead to their trip to St James's Park and Newcastle tomorrow afternoon. So make sure you stay tuned here on Love Sport for the Brighton Fan Show for the next half an hour. Just an update from St Mary's. It is full-time in the Friday night football and it has finished Southampton 1, Bournemouth 3. Goals from Nathan Ake, Harry Wilson and Callum Wilson giving Bournemouth all 3 points. As I said, it is the Brighton Fan Show. We're going to look back at last week's game and also look ahead to this week's game. I'm delighted to say that all the way from in North America, from the USA, Joshua Goldsmith joins us this evening. Thank you so much for your time this evening or this afternoon in America, Joshua. Let's look back firstly at that Burnley draw last week. 1-1 at home. It's still no home wins for Graham Potter this season. Is that starting to become a little bit of a problem for Brighton?
Yeah, thank you for having me, first of all. I think it's a bit early days to be too worried. The performances on the pitch as opposed to the performances on paper are very different. If you're watching the games, we are a totally different outfit to the team that was getting hammered at home 5-0 last year. And the performances we're putting in are there. It's just we're not finishing enough chances. So I'm a little bit worried about our striking options, but not so much our home record.
One of the things that struck me quite a lot was the team selection in terms of who played up front, because Graham Potter went with both Glenn Murray and Neil Morpay up front. Is that a sign of things to come that Graham Potter will look to play both of them, or is it a case of because Glenn Murray's now in his mid-30s that he's going to ease Murray out and push Neil Morpay more and more, who over the last 12-18 months can't stop scoring?
Yeah, he's been some player since coming to us too. Two already on the score sheet, one at Watford and then again this weekend. I think it's actually just a sign of things to come for the attack in general. Since we started out against Watford, we've been playing three up front and they've been kind of a weird striker-winger hybrid. They've been coming inside very narrow when they attack. So you kind of have Mopai, Murray and Pascal Gross all kind of swarm in the box. It's a really weird thing. I've never seen it before. Well, especially from us, it's the kind of thing you see from Manchester City and Liverpool, not from a bottom half Premier League team. But I think that we're probably going to see Glenn slowly phase out. He does look kind of slower in that young attacking group that we have going forward. And I think it's probably Aaron Connolly, a young Irish striker that's going to come through and take his spot. So we'll probably end up having Mopai and Connolly there as opposed to Glenn Murray.
Looking at the way that Graham Potter has set up the side, interestingly, at the weekend, for example, we saw a back three with Shane Duffy, Lewis Dunk, and also one of the signings the other side, Amal Webster from Bristol City. Is that a sign of things to come that Potter is going to stick with that, or is it a case of still trying to experiment? We are only a handful of games into the season, and Graham Potter still trying to find what is the perfect recipe for this Brighton side.
Yeah, I think you're right. He played just about every formation under the sun during preseason, and he's continuing to experiment now. I think we played about three different formations against Burnley as well. We started out with a back three, and then we went to a back four, and then we played around with just two at the back at one point. It was really weird. I think he hasn't quite found where he wants to go yet. And then every time he kind of thinks he knows where he wants to go, we end up getting somebody injured. So I think he's definitely going to be still looking for it. If he ever finds it, he seems to have always been quite a flexible manager. At Swansea, I know he used to do the same thing. He would go through three formations in a match. So maybe it's just the way he is, and we'll just have to enjoy the ride.
Brighton have not scored more than once in any of their last 15 Premier League home games and are winless in their last 8 at the Amex Stadium. We mentioned how Graham Potter is yet to win a home game as Brighton manager, as well as the fact that the results aren't necessarily coming at home. Is it perhaps more concerning that the goals aren't coming either at home?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Last week we had like over 60% possession, like 15 odd shots, I think, and 9 of them were in the penalty area. We're taking shots, we're getting them on target, we're just not scoring. Under Houghton, it was a very clear problem. We played very negative football, but even now, it does seem to become somewhat of a psychological issue. So I do hope Potter can get them over the brink there, because it does seem to be bedding into their mindset that they're not going to get a result at home, and that's the last thing we need.
Looking at some of the summer signings, firstly, a man that, as I said, started in the back three for Brighton last weekend. That's Adam Webster, who was signed for quite a hefty fee, around £20 million from Bristol City over the summer. What have you made to his start, and do you see him being at the forefront of Brighton's defence going forward for the next few years?
I was shocked at the price tag to start with. I couldn't believe that we'd gone ahead and signed a centre-half for that amount of money when we clearly needed more striking options. So I think the entire fan base was shocked at the signing, but he was unfortunate enough to be given his debut away at Manchester City, which is about the worst baptism of fire you can get. But he ended up playing a pivotal role in possibly the entire title race, with Laporte putting himself out for, 3 months for the tackle that he put on Webster. But he looks a really good passing centre-back. He looks really positive. And given the baptism of fire he did have, he acquitted himself really well. I think he's definitely going to be one to watch. I think he would have been in sooner, but Dan Burn, a player that kind of came totally under the radar, ended up keeping him out of the side for a little while, and it may end up being Shane Duffy that loses out.
Another of Brighton's summer investments, obviously, was Leandro Trossard. Many people, perhaps general Premier League fans, wouldn't have necessarily known a huge amount about him. What do you believe that he brings, and how much are Brighton going to miss him tomorrow? He's not available for that trip to Newcastle.
Yep, I was one of them. I didn't really know anything about Trossard at all. But he is a really exciting player, really entertaining. When I first saw the signing, there was a lot of Genk fans online, and they were all saying that he was kind of like the less talented Eden Hazard. And as soon as you see him play, you can really see he keeps it really close to his feet. He beats men when you think he shouldn't. And he probably already should have had 2 or 3 goals this season. So he's definitely going to be a big miss. He provided that creative outlet and the pace. So I think we're going to miss him until he's back. And I think it's all the way until the international break that they don't expect him. So great signing, but it's a real gutter that he's out already.
Another of the new signings that we've already mentioned is Neil Maupay. He's already scored a couple of goals this season, had a phenomenal season for Brentford last season. How big a gulf and a jump do you think there is between the Championship and the Premier League, in particular for strikers? And do you think that he can be the man this season to potentially score as many as 15 league goals for Brighton this season?
Yeah, it takes a special striker, I think, doesn't it, to be able to make that jump. There's not many that you see do it. Jamie Vardy was one of them who also did. Glenn Murray has done it too. But there's really not many that do make that jump and do it so well. And yet it seems that he's starting, you know, he hit the ground running. And as it stands right now, he seems to be in the right place at the right time. And I think it doesn't matter what league you're in. If you can keep that consistent, that kind of football IQ, you're going to score goals, and he's doing it. So I would be as bold as to say he might well put 12 to 15 in this season, and that's something we will desperately need. So thank God we got him.
I wanted to get your views, Josh, on a player that already was already there at Brighton. That's Pascal Gross, because a couple of seasons ago, he had a fantastic year, and lots of fancy football owners will admit they had him in their fancy teams. He then had a bit of an off-season last season, in particular the last 6 months, in and out of the side. Where do you think he is at in his Brighton career, and can he become one of the focal points again for Brighton?
Yeah, I think he's had an absolute re-emergence, actually. The first year, like you said, he was incredible. It shocked everybody just how good he was. And last year, he got hurt early on and then came back, and he was put in the middle of the midfield, like as a proper central midfielder and not one of the kind of attacking number 10s that he was doing the year before. But Potter has him playing in that kind of, he totally roams all over the final third of the pitch. If you ever see the Albion play, you'll see him just about everywhere in that final third. It's really quite funny because he's so slow, but he's there when you don't expect him, and he's been absolutely outrageous so far this season. He's been probably one of our best players. You know, just this weekend, he could have got a couple of goals and assists. If he had pace, he would probably be a top six player, but he's so slow that may well curse him in the end. But he's going to almost be like a new signing this season. He's that good.
Obviously, over the summer, Brighton made the decision to obviously relieve Chris Hughton of his duties, a man that was well-liked at Brighton, and replace him with Graham Potter, who looked like he was starting to do some positive things at Swansea. What have you made of Graham Potter tactically at the start of the season? It started an emphatic start with that 3-0 win away at Watford, which caught many by surprise. How have you taken to Graham Potter so far?
I love him. I love his attitude. I love everything about him. I was watching his videos and researching the heck out of him for the podcast when he first got signed up, and I love everything he does. The main thing we wanted as fans, I think the general consensus was that Chris Hughton's a legend. We love him, but we want football we enjoy watching. And the last half of last season was just horrific. And the one thing you can say is he's brought a brand of football that is just refreshing. You know, we're dominating possession, we're having a lot of shots. They're not just random pot shots from 35 yards out either. We're working balls into the box. Last season you could guess the formation and the lineup every week comfortably, and this week you haven't got a clue who's going to roll out there. I like him. I think his attitude's great. He's offloaded a couple of players that were definitely perceived as toxic, and he's been brutal in getting them out the door. And he's brought in players that seem to be playing fun football. So as of right now, I'm very much pro Potter.
Where do you think Brighton are at the moment? I know that's quite a general question, but they've got a good stadium at the Amex, which is a modern stadium. They've got a very good training ground, very good training facilities. Where do you think they're at? And over the next few years, what should be, in your eyes, the ambition for a club like Brighton?
Yeah, great question, to be fair, because I think that was the question that Tony Bloom was asked all summer too. And he was very vocal in saying that, you know, as the owner of the club, I want us to be a top 10 team going forward. And I think that, you know, every owner has to say that, because otherwise, where's your ambition? But I think that this is almost year one of the revolution. Hughton was the initial one. We got up, we stayed up. We've been in the Premier League 2 years now, and I think this is the time that Tony Bloom decided to pull the trigger on bringing in a man that he wanted to use to develop our young talent, which we do have a pool of that Hughton didn't use too much. We brought in Dan Ashworth from the FA to help with that kind of process. So I think the long-term goal is definitely growth, bringing our team together, bring them up the table. And as a fan, really, I just want safety this year. And then if we look confident, win some cups, which is pretty much, I suspect, what everybody wants.
Well, we'll continue to get your views, Josh, on Brighton, and up next we'll be getting some of the opposition view as Brighton travel to Newcastle.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
This is the Brighton Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 10:30 this evening, so make sure you don't go anywhere. We're talking to Joshua Goldsmith from Together Brighton podcast, all the way from the USA, and we're going to get an opposition view now. Obviously, Brighton travel to St James's Park tomorrow evening, a 5:30 kickoff, and I'm delighted to say that Charlotte Robson, contributor to the True Faith NUFC fanzine, joins us this evening. Thank you so much for giving us a few of your minutes tonight, Charlotte. It's been a bit of an indifferent start to the season for Newcastle. Some good performances away at Tottenham and some not so good. How would you assess Newcastle's start to the season?
Oh, I don't think it's been very good. Spurs was a win, which was we did not see that coming. So that was good. Okay start with Arsenal at home at the very beginning of our season, and a really shocking performance at Norwich away, and we should have beaten Watford. That was a disappointing draw, and then Liverpool last weekend, which I don't think anyone expected to get any points from. So a bit, yeah, not delighted, but not an easy run of games as well. So
Obviously, it's a question for both of you. I'll start with you, Charlotte. At such an early point in the season, is it overdramatic to say that this game is perhaps a must win for both sides, but in particular, for obviously, for your club, Newcastle, at home in particular? Is there that pressure already that this is a game that you identify that the Newcastle really should be winning it?
Completely. I mean, people, it's ridiculous because it's only September, but people are calling it a 6-pointer. So, I mean, yeah, it's a must win. We've not won at home yet. We've got a really tough run of games coming up after this one as well. We've got Leicester, Chelsea, Man U, Wolves, I think. I don't know if I've got those in the right order, but they're coming up after this. And, you know, we have had a turbulent summer, and I'm not sure that we are going to make it through this season and stay up. So winning games like this for us is an absolute must.
I'll ask the same question then to you, Josh. Do you look at this game, is there slightly less pressure on Brighton because they're the away side, or do you look at it and think, actually, these are the types of games that Brighton need to be at least getting something from this game?
Yeah, if anything, I think there's even more pressure on us with such an indifferent home start. And with, like Newcastle, we have Chelsea and Spurs coming up right after this. So this is going to be an opportunity to get some points on the board where we're not going to be so lucky, probably against the other top six teams. So I hate to say it so early on, like you said, it's September, but I think this is a really important game for both teams.
For you, Charlotte, do you think that Newcastle have enough firepower going forward and perhaps enough support for those players going forward? That Joel Linton, I think, has actually made a pretty solid start to life in the Premier League. Miguel Almiron is trying to provide thruster up front. Do you think that Newcastle have enough going forward at the moment to cause a side like Brighton problems?
I think if you look at our performance on Saturday, Almiron and Joe Linton are not connecting. They're like 10, 15 yards away from each other. If we're getting the ball at the pitch on the break, they're not actually, we don't have much of an attacking threat, even though in theory we do. Having said that, I don't know loads about Brighton's current lineup, but I do know that their defence isn't the fastest. So I'm hoping that the pace that we've got with Almiron and then Atsu as well will bring the ball at the pitch, and we'll be able to get around them that way.
How do you think Newcastle will set up, Charlotte? Obviously, they played a back three or a back five, maybe defensively, yeah, against Liverpool. Obviously, Brighton also set up with a back three. How do you see the tactical side of the game unfolding with both sides going up against each other in similar types of formations?
Yeah, I don't think there'll be massive changes. I know that Andy Carroll is going to be on the squad, or Steve Bruce said he'll be on the squad today, which I think you could argue if he was starting, you could even do a 4-4-2 with those two big guys at the front. But I think I don't think it'll be much different to how we set up against Liverpool. I don't like Emile Kraft. I don't think he's very good, but I think we've got a good alternative in Mankio. So I think we're fairly evenly matched in that sense, and I'm not sure it's going to be a thrilling game of football.
How excited are you, Charlotte, to see Andy Carroll back at Newcastle? It's been quite a long time since Newcastle fans saw him don the Newcastle kit. Are you excited to see him back, or are you worried that if he might play a game, he might just pick up an injury and be out for quite a while?
Yeah, he's injury prone. I am excited. It was kind of a bit like, really, is this just a ridiculous PR stunt when it was all getting sort of done at the end of the summer? But it's nice. It's nice that he's from the area. It's nice that he's come up through, you know, through the youth team and stuff. And he had a lot of promise when we sold him to Liverpool. I can't remember when it was now, 2009, around that time. And from Steve Bruce's press conferences and stuff, he's been saying that he's bringing a lot of energy to the side and training and things like that. So from that side of stuff, I think he's an impact sub, isn't he? So if we bring him on and he manages to, you know, do 10, 20 minutes, I think he could make a difference. So I'm excited to see that.
Josh, how do you expect Graham Potter to set it aside? Not necessarily in terms of the formation, because we can probably predict that, but how positive do you think that Graham Potter will be going? Do you think he will look to really take the game to Newcastle, or do you think he'll look to sit in with the pressure not being on them away from home and just look to play on the counter-attack?
A bit of both, actually. I think he'll probably look to take it to them late on like he did Watford. But at the beginning, I think he's going to probably just look to do what he's done against every team. Even Manchester City, he's going to look to keep the ball, frustrate the opponents. And, you know, if he can get St. James's Park annoyed and frustrated with not having a lot of the ball and not having a lot of chances early on, I think that's exactly what he'll aim to do. So I think it'll be the kind of classic possession football that he's had, see if we can carve out any chances. And I reckon in that last sort of 25 minutes, we'll probably bring on a couple of quicker attacking players, and then we'll pretty much do the exact same game plan as we did at Watford and try and hit them hard at the end and see if we can get anything.
And just finally from you, Charlotte, Newcastle currently 18th in the table on 4 points. Are you confident the Magpies will get all 3 points tomorrow?
I am relentlessly positive, so I'm saying yes, but I also wouldn't be surprised if we got one each.
Is that your prediction, or are you going to be more positive?
No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it's going to be 2-0 to Newcastle.
2-0 to Newcastle. There, you heard it here first. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Charlotte.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
That was Charlotte Robson, contributor to the True Faith NUFC fanzine. We'll go back to you, Josh, obviously coming towards the end of the Brighton Fan Show on this Friday evening. If you had to identify two or three key things for Brighton tomorrow away at Newcastle, what would you be looking at if you were Graham Potter?
I think we've got to find a way to get past Shaw and Lascelles, because I think they're both very good defenders. And like we've been saying, we haven't been scoring a great deal of goals. So I think it's going to be working out how to cause them as many problems as possible and how to keep people like Atsu quiet. I know he wasn't mentioned earlier there, but Atsu seems to cause Brighton a lot of problems whenever he plays. He's got a couple of assists already. He's super quick, super direct. So I think it's going to be keeping him quiet and finding a way around that back two of Shaw and Lascelles, because they're a good duo. So I think that's going to be our key.
Looking at some of the comments that Graham Potter has made ahead of the game, his press conference, we certainly don't go there thinking this is not Manchester City, so it's going to be easy, or we've got more of a chance. You just have to play your game and do your best. The opposition can cause you problems in the Premier League wherever you go. Is that Graham Potter genuinely being serious, or is he just trying to play it down, making sure the players don't get a little bit complacent, thinking going to Newcastle just because they're in the bottom three that it's going to be plain sailing and an easy 3 points?
I think it's a bit of both, actually. I think he's definitely, with his experience and his people leadership stuff that he has, I think it's definitely a case of keeping their feet on the ground every single week. I don't know if you had a chance to see the game against Manchester City, but the possession we had and the way we played was kind of bizarre to watch a team try and take the game so hard to Manchester City, keeping possession and all that sort of stuff. So I think that I think he's being serious. I don't think he's kind of playing it down too much, because I think that's genuinely just his outlook on everything. And he's right, to be fair. Any Premier League team can beat you. And I feel like this Premier League is probably the most competitive it's been in a while. So, yeah, I think he's spot on with just how much anybody can come and bite you.
And just finally then, Josh, a prediction: can Brighton go and get all 3 points from St. James's Park?
Yeah, they can. I think they definitely can win it. And I think we're about due another win. So I think we will. I think we will win it.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening, Joshua.
Thank you.
That was Joshua Goldsmith from the Together Brighton podcast. Many thanks to Josh for joining us for this Brighton fan show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.